Coming up on podcast 1157, Lucid goes public on the NASDAQ, and that allows them to accelerate their new product launches. Also on the podcast today, we're looking at VW pushing ahead with a single platform for nearly all of their future electric vehicles. We look at why Europe is doing really well with EV sales and robots that charge your car by themselves. And do we even need them? Well, someone's invented one. And also, by the way, Tesla are having their quarterly earnings call. It's preceded by the shareholder letter with the financials and some product information as well. And then Elon Musk and the board will do a Q&A call for investors. I won't do it on this show because it can often run, you know, 20 minutes by the time you dissect it all. And there's lots of people who listen to this show that don't want Tesla overload, but they want the headlines. So I'll do a separate podcast about that, play back some audio of Elon talking, do some analysis of what he says, and not so much the financial side, because there's plenty of people that do that well. It doesn't really interest me. The products interest me more, and I'm sure you as well. And so we'll look at how the factories, the cars are coming along. Look out for that one. And if you're not an Uber Tesla fan, then you haven't got to download it. So super good. That's, I think, how we will do this quarter's earnings call. We will start with, hang on a minute, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Tuesday, 22nd, 7th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. All right, first story today. Lucid goes public on the NASDAQ. Shares of Lucid rose 10% yesterday following their debut. The startup receives $4.4 billion in cash from the transaction after expenses. Saudi Arabia's public investment fund have been a controversial, for some people at least, about certain things to do with Saudi investment. They've put $1 billion into Lucid over the years. They now come out of this with Lucid worth $24 billion and the Saudi Public Investment Fund owning 60% of the company. By any measure, that's a damn good deal. These reverse merger deals can indeed provide a cash injection to a company to go public very quickly without the usual IPO process, and it does give them $4.5 billion in cash to accelerate their rollout, their roadmap, not just cars, SUVs, but also e-mobility. Things like electric boats and planes, eVTOL, you'll hear Peter Rawlinson call it. Also, home energy storage as well, and not just the Lucid Air. That starts at $70,000 after tax credits, but it'll go up to $162,000. They are on target to deliver them. I've got a clip here of Peter Rawlinson, the CEO, talking. This is edited for brevity, by the way, just full disclosure, but you can see the full and listen to the full audio. It is online on social media. Have a listen to what he had to say.
We're on track for delivery of the groundbreaking Lucid Air this year, and we're on track for our production schedule. In our Casa Grande plant, we've already started ground levelling for incredible integration of phases 2 and 3 of the factory, bringing 2.7 million square foot of expanded factory space ready for the introduction of the Gravity project in late 2023. Today we're launching the Lucid group of companies to really expand the electromobility space, cars, energy storage, eVTOL, marine, and all forms of transport. The world faces a great challenge. We're on the precipice of an environmental crisis, and mankind needs to transition to sustainable mobility. I would like to say this, not all EVs are the same. We have the most efficient EVs, and that efficiency and that tech race will make the world a better place for all mankind.
I'll pop a link to MSN in the show notes if you want to have a read more about that story. Next, let's look at the plug-in vehicle market in Europe. Yesterday, we were talking about how China is smashing it with 15% last month in June. Well, anything you can do, I can do better, says Europe, with a 19% market share last month in June of plug-in vehicles. That's, you know, like, let's call it 20%. We're all friends here. And I just don't know how anybody can now deny that this electric vehicle movement isn't just happening, but it's happening so quickly. And people will point back and look at how everyone had a Nokia phone one day, and where are they now? And everyone had a BlackBerry in business back in the day. Where are they now? And so Lots of people making those comparisons. I had a Polaroid camera, used Kodak film, and technology moves quickly, and people are saying that with EVs, we are at an inflection point that you and I are interested in right now. European passenger plug-in market was 237,000 registrations in the month of June alone. How amazing is that? Doesn't mean that there's a quarter of a million gas-guzzling cars, polluting cars off the road, but it does mean almost a quarter of a million EVs on the road. Last month's plug-in vehicle share was 19%. 10% of that is pure electrics. The number one, in case you're wondering, here in Europe, the number one in June was the Tesla Model 3. That is often attributed, though, to the weird cadence of Tesla's... Well, you'll get your car when the ships arrive, because there's no Berlin factory yet. So we can't get it drip-drip. We get it in one go. And it's often skewed towards the end of the quarter. So that's why in June, the Model 3 had a great month, 26,178 deliveries in June, the best performance ever in Europe and the second best performance ever by any EV in this market in a single month. It was behind the current record holder, the VW ID3, which was 28,110 units in a single month that Volkswagen registered just in time before the end of the year ticked over. Some people had a real issue about those pre-registrations or selling them to themselves for company cars. Some of the Nick is in a real twist about that. But hey, who cares? It's EVs on the road. Number two, Renault Zoe had 8,244 deliveries last month in June. Volkswagen ID3 was in third place. Volkswagen ID4 was in fourth place. And if you look at some other interesting numbers, let's have a look here. Outside the top 20, we do want to give a couple of honourable mentions for cars just hitting the market. The Hyundai Ioniq 5, which is the retro futuristic pixel car, had 1,100 registrations in Europe. Really, as those cars just came off the ships. And the Audi Q4 e-tron, again, just making their ways into dealers, had 2,000 registrations. So next month, we'll look at how the July figures did. Look, just again, yesterday, China. Today, Europe. We know other parts of the world are slowly kind of catching up a little bit. But it's a real duking out of those two big car markets right now. And the winners are EVs, so we love it. Next, we'll talk about Mercedes-Benz EQE, sister car to the EQS. The EQE SUV will launch next year in 2022. And it's obviously going to be a big rival to the likes of the Tesla Model X, Jaguar I-Pace, Audi e-tron. It won't be the largest Mercedes-Benz SUV that we'll see in the coming years, but it will be positioned around the top of the EV lineup, above the EQC and obviously above the EQA as well. The EQE badge, E-Class in other words, shared across two cars, which is I always think is a little bit weird, but the EQS actually refers to two, a sedan and an SUV, and the EQE actually refers to two cars, a sedan and an SUV. From the A-pillars backwards, the SUV says autoexpress.co.uk says the SUV takes on a more traditional 4x4 proportion compared to the EQC. Styling changes include a stubby bonnet, long wheelbase, and a swept-back cabin. Why have they done that? Well, that's because the EQE is built on a pure EV platform. So, you don't need a massive bonnet because you're not retrofitting a platform that was designed for massive engines. So, wheels on all four corners, more space inside, bit more leg room, which is what you and I always want. You know, more room inside, just a little short stubby front that's enough to pass the, you know, the crash tests, maybe a frunk in there as well, somewhere to put the air conditioning to get it all out of the cabin, and you know, all of those kind of things. It marks a shift away from what was the EQC, which is a great car, by the way. We get that here in Europe. EQC was on a modified platform. The GLC was on that. So always super good when you use a dedicated EV architecture. As well as ensuring the EQE can accommodate a large battery, Mercedes-Benz has been prioritizing fast charging. So if it's anything like the EQS, and I would imagine it would be, that is a, I didn't look this up beforehand, so someone can correct me, I think 114 or 113.8 gross kilowatt hour battery, 109 or 110 net what you get to use. I imagine same for EQE.
Maximum peak charging of these cars, 200 kilowatts. Not setting the world alight, but, you know, I wouldn't kick it out of bed in the morning. Absolutely fine. You know what? 200 kilowatts is fast. Not the best out there. You know what? Good enough for nearly everybody, apart from the real speed freaks that just want to charge as quick as possible. Pop a link to Auto Express in the show notes if you want to read more about how that's coming along. How do you fancy doing a track day in your electric vehicle? The UK's first EV-only track day is being organised, an exclusive event for EV owners to drive your vehicles on a track in a safe way. Landau is perfect for all levels of driver, whether you're a beginner, intermediate or more advanced. It's being organized by Tevo, T-E-V-O. They make accessories, I think, for electric cars here. And the number of cars on track at any one time will be limited. There'll be driver coaching and the perfect chance to find out how your car performs when you push it to the limit with like-minded EV owners and no earplugs required, they say. It is the first ever EV, pure EV track day, plug-in hybrids and hybrid cars banned. There is a Tesla supercharger about 11 miles away. So if you do rinse your battery, you can crawl over there, supercharge and come back. Of course, they are thinking about how to charge cars when they're there, but I would say don't bank on that. Cost you £180 to do it. And I'll pop a link to Tevo. I haven't heard of them before, but look like I had checked out their website today. Do some great things for EVs. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you think, hey, 18th of August, in a couple of weeks' time, I'll be there. Rag my car around the track. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, we are talking about a robot that will automatically charge your electric vehicle and Polestar moving into 9 new markets. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Now, VW confirm they are pushing ahead with their super platform for EVs. 40 million vehicles will be made on their super platform. The likes of VW, Skoda, Seat, Audi, Porsche, all will be using it, apart from at the very, very high end. So it's called the SSP platform. And the scalable systems platform will pretty much underpin every single electric car coming from the VW group. And we've only just started talking about the MEB platform under the ID3, ID4, etc., but that will go away. And the new platform, says the development chief, also the head of Audi, Markus Duesmann, said the design of the platform with its different modules, battery sizes, body lengths, allows for brand differentiation, but there will be a handful of very high-performance cars which do use their own separate high-performance platform. So the likes of the big Porsches, the big Audis, they will use something different. He says, though, this is the key bit of this story that I want you to listen to. I quote, "We will reduce today's complexity by about 50%, and I think you can understand what this means for us in terms of economies of scale," end quote. By the end of this decade, he went on to say, "we will have rolled out the SSP across all of our core segments and all brand groups, already covering a bigger volume than PPE and MEB put together." He also said, "That is the key. If you and I want to buy more affordable electric cars which are built on a good platform which is, you know, achievable under our budgets, this is the way to do it. VW, I've said this for years on this podcast, VW are interested in scale. The world's biggest car maker or vehicle maker, depending on how you slice that pie, but they would say they're the world's number one. They got no interest in small scale, limited runs of EVs when their business is all EV. They are all about the scale, and this is how they'll achieve it. So this is brilliant. I mean, you know, all we care about is just, you know, the cars that end up on the market, and this is brilliant news. Next, an article from the Los Angeles Times, which I'd like to, if you're one of my Californian listeners, get some feedback on to help me understand. Always looking to learn. A chap called Sam Dudley of Encino knows that Californian government wants to go all in on zero-emission vehicles, and he has as well. He's bought himself an EV, and he was talking to the LA Times that in May he bought a new Chevy Bolt, loves it, but now it's already July, and he's got no sign of when the state will make good on the EV incentive rebate money it owes him, $4,500, and he might have to wait until next year to get the money, because some of these rebate programs aren't fully funded, or the money arrives in blocks, and he was warned he and thousands of others might not even get back as much money as was promised at the time he bought the car. That doesn't seem right to me. You can't have a rebate program, you know, or can you, Californians, correct me, where if you buy the car, you get this much back, and just because of, you know, admin, or they hadn't put the money in the bank account, or they hadn't fully funded that rebate program, that, you know, in 12 months' time, they say, hey, you bought your Bolt, but we can't give you the money now as the rebate as promised. Is it that sketchy? Fill me in. I'd love to learn. Europe is going to boost battery production as EV shifts towards the EV shift accelerates. In Europe, we're going to need more batteries after years of slow progress and frankly being behind China, where gigafactories are more prevalent than anywhere else in the world. There are now plans to invest 40 billion euros, that's $64 billion equivalent, in 38 European gigafactories. That could be turning out 1,000 gigawatt hours of batteries a year, says Business Times. With the average battery capacity of 60 kilowatt hours, just say it's that average. I know some cars have more, some less. That would be enough to power 16.7 million vehicles every year. Every year. Now, the EU Commission Vice President, Maros Sefcovic, recently said he planned the planned battery factories put the EU on track to achieve strategic autonomy. And what's that mean when you hear politicians talking about strategic autonomy? That, to me, sounds like independence, not relying on China. And Europe has certainly domestic sources of lithium in the Czech Republic, Germany, yeah. But they, you know, Europe will depend on imports of other things. And we will here at least develop, you know, supply agreements with companies all around the world, but that does include China, and so not completely independent in the race to produce EV batteries. Next, Polestar is launching in 9 further markets. Swedish EV performance brand Polestar said yesterday they're launching in 9 markets, but they wouldn't say where it is, but okay. We'll get the information, and doubling their retail locations according to Market Watch. They currently have city centre retail locations under their Polestar Spaces concept, but they will introduce larger out-of-town locations where the company can also hand over customer cars, which they can't do at the moment. They're going to be called, not Spaces, but Polestar Destinations. 18 countries by the end of the year and 100 locations. Next, a charger that is robot-controlled. A Graz University of Technology Austria project teaming up with a robotics startup to develop Charbo. C-H-R-A-R-B-O. Charging robot, Chargebo. Okay, fair enough. Got to give it a name, I guess. It's a robot capable of charging parked EVs with no human supervision. The robot moves around on its little rollers autonomously between the cars. It will recognize a charging connection and it will plug in a cable for you. EVs are on the rise, and so is the demand for charging. But I'm not sure I've ever thought that charging was a hardship. I mean, once you've found a cable, it's like plugging in a cable, says the mayor.eu website. At the moment, the charging flap on your EV would need to be left open in order for the robot to recognise the charging socket. So I guess that means you've got some little rubber bungs underneath as well. You've got to take those off. In the future, though, they will remove that inconvenience and there'll be a communication between the vehicle and the robot. So when you've parked, you can just walk away from your car and the robot will kind of mooch around the car park and think, oh, there's an EV not plugged in. I'll take it out of the holder and plug it in for them. Yeah, I'm not sure that's a problem that needed to be solved unless I'm missing something, but well done, Austria. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. With almost 3,000 superchargers globally and 25,000 stalls individually, what do you think about Tesla's plan to open up the network to everyone? Email me your thoughts. I'll read them out on Sunday. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. You know, anything you do, anytime, means a huge amount. Whether it's a share, whether it's spreading the word, whether it's a five-star rating or a few words on Apple Podcasts, the review platform, whether it's Patreon, whether it, you know, putting your hand in your pocket and supporting this podcast, anything you, whether it's just listening to the adverts. And of course, if you want the ad-free feed, all patrons get an ad-free feed, but just listening to the ads, like, helps me make this show, and it pays the bills. Premier partners on Patreon: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, they can spend as much money on lobbying as they want. There's still no such thing as a self-charging hybrid car.